This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, April 24th, brought to you by Watkins & Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. China's trip preparation details held tight. API and farm groups unite on E15, and Hovind commissions sugar imports report. The Trump administration is keeping details on preparations for the president's trip to China closely guarded. U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer told lawmakers this week that the U.S. wants to secure fresh agriculture commitments from Beijing during Trump's visit next month. But U.S. agriculture is being kept in the dark about what those might be. The administration regularly briefs U.S. agriculture and other industries through calls with clear advisors. But even in that forum, when participants have pressed the administration for details, they've been told the information is kept at to cabinet-level officials. I never hear anything more than our goal is political level, the highest levels, and it's to create stability, one participant told AgriPulse. That's all I've been hearing from USTR for months with China. Sources from several industries with large export volumes to China told AgriPulse yesterday that they had not had any details on whether their industries might benefit from the visit. The American Petroleum Institute, the National Corn Growers Association, and top ethanol lobbying groups are pressing U.S. lawmakers to back a new plan to get E15 put into law. Supporters of bipartisan measure to allow year-round sales of higher ethanol blends, or E15, want the proposal attached to the House Farm Bill that's set for a vote as soon as next week. The measure also would limit refinery exemptions to national biofuel blending rules, a provision rejected by some small refiners but supported by larger ones. Representative Nikki Bozinski, an Illinois Democrat co-sponsoring the proposed E15 amendment, tells AgriPulse newsmakers she's very optimistic. There were some minor adjustments made for the small refiners to help them out a little bit more from previous legislation, she said. But small refinery exemptions have been a contentious issue for Republicans and Democrats alike for years. API's push to rein in SREs is drawing ire from smaller refiners that argue larger competitors are trying to squeeze them out of the market. API says it wants a more transparent, less volatile system. Biomass-based diesel and soybean groups have previously cautioned that changes to the SRE process could trigger unintended consequences for their industries. In January, when a proposed SRE overhaul derailed an E15 deal in the House, the American Soybean Association said that while it supports year-round E15, it remained concerned about any effort to, quote, weaken the renewable fuel standard and other policies U.S. soybean farmers rely on for domestic market demand. In a statement, text to AgriPulse, an ASA spokesperson said the group, quote, is still assessing the amendment and the impacts it would have long-term on the RFS, specifically soy-based biofuels and farmers. Senator John Hovind of North Dakota has commissioned researchers at North Dakota State University to look into the impacts of rising out-of-quota sugar imports on domestic prices. The findings, published yesterday, show they are depressing domestic prices by between 5 and 8 cents a pound. The higher out-of-quota tariff, which is fixed at 15.36 cents per pound, has lost almost half of its real value to inflation over the past 26 years, the authors note. Out-of-quota imports have jumped more than 700% since 2018. Trump's emergency tariffs provided some additional protection, the report says, but that has mostly gone with their axing. Absent a tariff adjustment, the estimated price effects would be expected to persist, the report reads. Hovind has been pressing the administration to mount a trade probe into sugar imports to determine if additional protections are needed for domestic industry. His home state of North Dakota, combined with Minnesota, account for more than half of all U.S. sugar beet producers. Greer said this week the administration is weighing its options. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. The Senate Finance Committee postponed a planned hearing with Trade Representative Greer yesterday after a vote-a-rama kept senators in the chamber until the early morning. An aide told AgriPulse no new data has been sent yet. European Commission for Trade and Economic Security Maroš Šefčovič is in Washington today for meetings with cabinet officials, lawmakers, and industry. The European Union delegation to the U.S. says its main focus will be identifying areas for cooperation on critical minerals and other shared trade issues. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins will be in Higginsville, Missouri today to tour a farm with farm production and conservation under Secretary Richard Fordyce and Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe. They will be at GR Farms, which uses Ag Spectrum's maximum farming system to optimize nutrient efficiency. Rollins plans to announce disaster program changes to help specialty crop growers. The trip to Higginsville likely means that Rollins will not visit Douglas, Arizona this week, as she had said she would. The visit to the port of entry was expected to center on issues surrounding the new world screwworm and whether certain ports could be open to imports of feeder cattle from Mexico. Policy conversations around fertilizer have started to accelerate with the introduction of numerous bills, but American Farm Bureau Federation Vice President of Public Policy and Economic Analysis John Newton tells AgriPulse that Congress needs to devote more attention to the issue. I think an important part of this conversation is that we need to have hearings. We need to get experts at the table, Newton told AgriPulse newsmakers. We need to get economists and industry representatives to help us think strategically about how we, in the short run and the long run, solve this problem. With so much of the world's fertilizer moving through the Strait of Hormuz, Newton added, we're not really food secure if we have to import so much. About a third of the world's fertilizer passes through the strait, which is nearly completely blocked to vessel traffic due to the conflict in Iran. Newton remains confident lawmakers will support another farm aid package that some lawmakers say could cost $20 billion, that after President Donald Trump voiced his support at the White House farmer event in March. Fox News' Stuart Varney pressed Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins yesterday about the Ag Department's plan to alleviate fertilizer prices for farmers. Rollins highlighted her meetings with fertilizer company executives, the waiver of the Jones Act domestic shipping requirements, and increased fertilizer imports from Venezuela. She did not, however, share a plan to mitigate the fertilizer shortages and price spikes. A proposed $26.3 billion budget for USDA, FDA, and CFTC cleared the House Appropriations Ag Panel and now advances to the full committee for markup next Tuesday. Subcommittee Chair Andy Harris of Maryland praised the bill for coming in 1.4% below the 2026 funding levels, despite including CFTC. The derivatives regulator was in a different legislative package last year. Harris applauded the bill's focus on fighting diseases like New World Screwworm, boosting support for child nutrition, investing in ag research, funding key rural development, and Make America Healthy Again programs. The panel's top Democrat, Representative Sanford Bishop, said he likes that the measure maintains food aid funds for low-income seniors and preserves global anti-hunger initiatives like Food for Peace. But he criticized cuts in fruit and vegetable benefits for the Women, Infants, and Children's Food Program and staff reductions at USDA. The markup before the full committee is scheduled for Tuesday, April 28th. Here's today's final word. I recognize that change can be challenging, yet throughout our 73-year history, ARS has continually evolved to meet the nation's needs, advancing agriculture science, strengthening food security, and responding to emerging national and global challenges. That Agriculture Research Service Administrator June Park in a message to ARS employees yesterday on the agency's reorganization. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, April 24th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.